Welcome everyone to Unfiltered Faith Beyond the Church Walls. I'm Evelyn and I've got my daughter, Crystal, here with me today. Today we're going to go into something special because it's not just a podcast episode. This is our Bible study. We didn't have Bible study Tuesday night, so we are actually going to do it here. So it may sound a little different, but we're going to teach it here in real time. So today we're diving into the Olivet Discourse, Jesus' longest and most powerful teaching on the end times, his second coming, and what it means to live ready. So grab your Bible, turn to Matthew 24, and let's dig in.
And don't just listen, like really lean in. This isn't about predictions and dates. It's about preparation and discipleship. Jesus didn't give his teaching so we could argue charts. He gave it so we would be ready when he returns.
Amen to that. So if you're listening with family or friends, keep your Bibles open, keep your heart soft, and let's let Jesus define readiness, not headlines, not hype. So let's turn to Matthew 24, 1 through 3. Jesus left the temple and was going away when his disciples came to point out to him the buildings of the temple. But he answered them, "You see all these? Do you not? Truly, I say to you, there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, "Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming of the end of the age?" So Jesus gives them and us the prophetic teaching.
I love that it starts with their curiosity. But Jesus always moves us past curiosity into calling. He's not just satisfying their questions. He's calling them to be watchful and faithful.
And notice in the setting here, Crystal, he took the disciples away from the crowds. Mm-hmm. It was just Jesus and his disciples. Revelation often comes in quiet place.
That's true.
So if you need clarity in this hour, get with Jesus on the quote unquote Mount of Olives of your life, that secret place. So we're going to talk about the signs of times. The very first warning Jesus gives is in Matthew 24, 4 through 14. So let's turn there. And it says, Jesus had answered them, "See that no one leads you astray, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and they will lead many astray. And you will hear wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the end is not yet. For the nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines and earthquakes in the various places. All these are but the beginnings of the birth pains. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will fall away and betray one another and hate one another. And many false prophets will arise and lead many astray. And because lawlessness will be increased, the love of many will grow cold. But the one who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be proclaimed throughout the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." So this very first warning Jesus gives, basically watch out that no one will deceive you. That's huge. The number one end time danger is not wars, it's the deception. False Christs, false prophets, fake spirituality, all of that multiplied. And then he also tells us that, you know, there will be rumors of wars and nations rising and famines and all these things. There are birth pains. Just like contractions, they grow in intensity and frequency, and we're seeing that.
Oh, yeah. And he also warns that believers will face persecution.
Yeah.
Some will fall away, wickedness will increase, and the love of many will grow cold. Friends, don't miss this. The fight of our faith in the last days is a fight to keep love alive.
That's
and how true is that?
So true.
But here's the promise. The one who stands firm to the end will be saved. And this gospel will be preached to all nations, and then the end will come. We're watching that happen right now.
Yeah, it's in real time, actually. And I can't I don't think we can stress enough that the revival that's happening across our country right now, and actually across the nations, it's amazing to watch, but we also, it just shows the time is near,
well, yeah.
Right?
You're kind of seeing both the love
and the hate.
And the hate.
Oh, yeah.
And it's humbling, but it's also just, it's heartbreaking to see. And
so true.
Just to know that, you know, Christians as a whole are hated for loving God, for loving his word, for loving everything about Jesus. And we're hated for that because people don't understand it.
Well, I don't know that they don't understand it. There may be some of that, but it's the evil, right?
Yeah.
It's the veils that are over their eyes that makes them, the evil one is roaming amongst us, and he is going to come steal and destroy, and that's what he's doing. If your news feed is discipling you more than the word of God,
that's true.
Deception will feel like truth, and truth will feel like an attack. So flip that ratio. Let's turn to scripture and let the scripture be your daily headline rather than, you know, media, social media, the news headlines and all the garbage that's portrayed in the world. We know there's garbage, and we know there's truth, and there's lies, and there's many lies and deception.
Yep.
So we're going to move on to the next part of our Bible study, and it talks about the abomination of desolation and great tribulation. So that is going to be in Matthew 24:15 through 28. And I'm just going to be paraphrasing this chapter, so just, you know, follow along. Jesus references Daniel. When you see the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place, that's the Antichrist desecrating the temple. Historically, we saw foreshadows with Antiochus and Rome, but the ultimate fulfillment is still ahead. So this event divides the seven-year tribulation. It marks the start of the Great Tribulation, a time suffering unlike any before.
And Jesus doesn't say, debate it. He says, flee. Urgency. No time for hesitation. He warns of false prophets with lying signs and wonders. The deception will be powerful, but he reminds us his coming will be unmistakable, like lightning flashing across the sky.
Yeah, it's true. Interesting that we know that it is, there's no debate, right? False prophets, lying, and we'll see the signs and wonders. And the thing about it is the deception is so clear today. When you have a world that is divided, literally divided, you know that it's good versus evil. And I'm not saying people, I'm saying the spiritual realm. There's evil versus battling good. Mm-hmm. And we can just see that in everyday world around us. It's actually kind of frightening in a sense.
Yep.
Lying wonders are still lies. If the miracle doesn't match the word, the miracle's not from God, period.
Yep.
So let's pause here and let's talk about, Jesus said the very first sign to watch for was deception. Mm-hmm. That's not a small thing. That's the number one danger in the last days. So let's reflect, Crystal.
Yeah, deception isn't just about cult leaders, right? It's subtle. It can come through media, through teaching that sounds good, but twists scripture, or even through our own desires, pulling us away from the truth. And how many, I'm sure you've seen it, but like I've seen reels of friends who are, they don't believe the same politically as I do.
Mm-hmm.
So they show reels from quote unquote pastors who fit their narrative. Like I'm not watching these videos because I want to see like, what are they saying?
Well, unlike some people, you do want to see both sides. You want to see where they're coming from to see if you can try to understand where their thinking is coming from.
Yeah. And when I actually ended up sharing it, but when I watched this video, I'm like, he is completely twisting scripture. It's kind of like, I wanted to say, tell me that you don't know the Bible without telling me that you don't know the Bible, basically, because that's exactly what he did. And I'm like, the fact that he's a quote unquote pastor, he's shepherding people. He's not shepherding his people well, he's shepherding them straight to hell. And that like broke my heart.
Yeah. Well, and the thing about TikTok pastors, we don't really know if they're pastors, right?
Right. They could just say that they are.
So we're here, we're sharing the gospel. We're not pastors.
No.
So, but when you say you are, and you're telling people that you are, you know, unfortunately that word holds weight. I don't know that it really should in all cases. I think you should follow people that you know, mm-hmm. they're sound in the word of God. And I don't care who you are, You know, I try to follow people that I know, like John Bevere and mm-hmm. Rick Renner, and people that I know are sound in their teachings, right?
Yeah.
So let's talk about it. How do we guard ourselves against deception today? So some questions that come to mind is like, is it being rooted in the Word? Mm-hmm. Is it testifying every day by, or is it testing everything by Scripture? Or is it staying sensitive to the Holy Spirit? Or is it choosing not to just go with the crowd when the crowd is drifting? So what do you think?
I would say it's a little bit of all the above.
Yeah.
You know, guarding against deception means staying alert, staying humble, and being willing to test every spirit. And that's what 1 John 4:1 says. Do not believe every spirit, mm-hmm. but test the spirits to see whether they are from God.
That's right. And it basically, the bottom line is we need to take a moment and see if it is reflecting in the Word of God or if it's just someone's opinion. And it's okay to have opinions. Everybody's right. going to interpret things differently. But I think we need to take a moment, and what do you personally do to guard against your deception, or what do you feel, or where do you feel vulnerable? So talking to the, you know, the listeners, that's a good question for you. Mm-hmm. You know, just stop and look and say, how am I guarding myself from deception, and am I vulnerable in this area? And, you know, share with us on our social media as we post these things. How do you feel? How do you feel led, you know?
Yeah. I know, like, for myself, seeing some videos that look so real, and like Andrew, I'm like, babe, is this real? He's looking, he's like, no. He's like, you can tell it's AI. Like, he can.
Yeah.
Because there's like something that happens, but some of these videos, some of these reels are insanely good.
Mm-hmm.
They look so real. I'm just like, I'm going to stop looking at reels.
Right. Well, because
I don't want to be deception. Deceived.
Yeah. And that's just it too. I mean, unfortunately, with the way we're going with AI, by 2030, it's going to be so difficult. You know, we're going to have discernment, right? And that only comes from the Lord, I believe. And so, you know, you need to ask the Lord.
Oh, yeah.
I do every day, like, Lord, help me to discern everything throughout my day, because everything, you know, can be so deceptive in today's world.
Yeah.
So Matthew 24:29-31, this part talks about the coming of the Son of Man. So after the tribulation, cosmic upheaval, sun darkened, moon not shining, stars shaken, then the sign of the Son of Man appears, and the whole world sees him coming on the clouds with power and glory.
Mm-hmm.
Angels gather his elect. This is not a secret rapture or a hidden event at all. This scripture tells us that this is global, visible, and going to be undeniable.
Yeah, and the bottom line is, you won't need anyone to whisper, oh, look, he's over there. Like, when Jesus returns, the sky becomes the stage, and every eye will see. And is that not when every knee will bow?
Well, we're going to get into the biblical timeline. So we're going to talk about exactly where we're at in this. But yeah, after the tribulation, you know, after the 7-year tribulation is when the next 1,000 years is when the millennial kingdom reigns. And that's when God is here reigning, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about the parables. So Matthew 24:32-25-30. Go ahead and talk about those.
Okay. So these parables are the heart of the discourse. Jesus is saying, don't just know the signs, but also be ready for them.
That's right.
So fig tree. So that shows his nearness.
As you can tell, the times of the signs when the fig tree is grown, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Days of Noah, people living normally until sudden judgment came.
That's right. So nobody really knew that flood was coming. Actually, they thought he was crazy.
Until it started raining, and then people were like, mm-hmm. oh, well.
Yep.
Faithful versus wicked servant. So one staying faithful, and the other got careless.
Yep.
The 10 virgins, 5 wise had oil, 5 foolish did not.
And that's just being, again, saying you're ready.
Just staying ready. Just keeping your lamps filled, keeping the word in your heart. And then talents. Servants were judged on how they stewarded what they were given.
Yeah.
One hid, and the other 2 grew.
Yep, exactly. All of them teach the same point. And that is basically our readiness, right? Yep. So it's like readiness looks like faithfulness, stewardship of what the Lord has given us, mm-hmm. and how we steward our anything. And that means everything. People think of steward as just only money, and it's just not. It's everything. It's your time. It's how you, you know, are stewarding your time with Him, with others.
I would even go as far as saying like how you're raising your children.
Oh, everything. Yeah. Yeah. How you steward everything, because everything comes from the Lord.
That's right.
And watchfulness, being ready. What does readiness look like? That, like you talked about, oil in your lamps,
yep.
faith in your heart, love in your hands. Like, are you out being ready, serving God's people? Riley is with us, and she is.
She
found the doorstop. She loves banging the doorstop thing, and so that's kind of cracking me up. So I apologize ahead of time. But anyway, babies will be babies.
Yep.
So it's interesting that when I think about this, I honestly, it's like I want to be doing exactly what the Lord has called me to do, and that is teaching and preaching the word, mm-hmm. not as a pastor. I don't believe that I'm a pastor. I'm just like out there serving other people in my everyday walk, right?
That's it. Yep.
So we're going to pause. We talked about a few parables in this section, the faithful and the wicked servant, the 10 virgins, the talents.
Yep.
Now, each one of those points really to readiness, faithfulness, and stewardship, like we said. Right. But let me ask you, which of those parables, Crystal, hit you the hardest personally? Which one do you see yourself in, like, right now?
I would say probably it's the parable of the 10 virgins. It's a reminder not to assume I can borrow someone else's oil for my walk, right? Like, I have to have a personal relationship with God. I have to know the word. So I've got to keep my own lamp burning. And I think that's important, because as I've been slacking here this last couple of weeks and, like, being the word every day, like, I was doing really good.
Right.
This year, and then, you know, life happened. Time got away from me. So I've been slacking these last couple weeks. But it's like, man, if I don't know the word, if I'm not in it every day, then I'm not refilling my own lamp. And I've got to be able to count on myself, my one-on-one time with the Lord, in order to keep my own lamp burning. Like, your lamp isn't going to keep mine burning.
That's right.
I got to keep my own lit. So that kind of hit me.
That's true. And we can help and guide each other, right?
Absolutely.
But when it comes at the end of the day,
can be my
guiding my light can be a guiding point. It's anybody's, right? If you're filled, you can kind of help guide people, but you certainly cannot, just like those virgins, they're like, you know, the parable talks about, like, no, I you know, you're on your own basically at that point. The Lord's coming in. And it, actually, there's a few things for me here. So, like, I think about, am I multiplying what God has put in my hands when it comes to time, my gifts, my resources, or am I bearing them because of fear? You know?
Yeah.
Faithfulness is not flashy. It's just being consistent, like you talked about.
Mm-hmm.
And we did, you know, we've had we just were on vacation, and we just really did, both of us actually, you know, kind of slack on our daily devotionals together. And it's like, okay, we got to get back on track, you know, because we don't want to be in that place where we're not being consistent and in the word. Not to mention, if you're not in the word daily, you can easily be deceived.
Absolutely.
Because just like, you know, the serpent twisted the word just enough mm-hmm. for Eve to deceive her.
Yeah.
It can easily happen if you don't know the word, if you think you know the word, but not, did he really say that? You know, you always got to go back to it.
Absolutely.
Right. As well as maybe the faithful servant convicts me also. Like, mm-hmm. are you steady in the ordinary days? Or maybe God's nudging me to pull, you know, a buried talent out of the ground that I thought I had this talent, and, you know, it's buried. So, like, pull it out and actually utilize it for his glory, not mine, but his glory.
Yeah.
So I'm inviting everybody here now, you know, that's listening to this podcast. This is invitation, not a condemnation, but, like, what about you? Maybe which parable of the talents convicts you?
Yeah.
Are you multiplying what God gave you? Are you just bearing it? Are you maybe the faithful servant, or you want to be, you're trying to be, but you're not quite there yet? You know, even when the master seems delayed, we should always be faithful and doing his work, right?
Yeah, absolutely. And don't be afraid to be honest here. I mean, sometimes the parable that hits us hardest is the one that shows where we've been lacking,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's definitely not condemnation. Jesus did not come here to condemn the world. He came here to heal us, to save us.
That's right.
So this is an invitation from the Lord to get ready and stay ready.
Especially in these days, stay ready, right? So again, take a time with, if you're listening with someone, or if we were in our group Bible study, we would take this time right now and just talk about which parable is tugging at your heart today. So put some thought into that. So Matthew 25, 31 through 46, finally, Jesus gives the sheep and the goats judgment. The Son of Man separates people based on how they treated the least of these.
Yep.
This is not works-based salvation. It's the evidence of true faith. Real discipleship is revealed in love and in service of our everyday walk.
Yeah, and it's kind of sobering. I mean, eternal life and eternal punishment. Heaven or hell, no middle ground. Jesus is clear. Our readiness is not just about watching the sky. It's about how we love people right now. And I shared a post the other day, and I asked Andrew if he saw it. And it said, the test of loving like Christ is not loving Jesus, it's loving Judas. And so when Andrew read it, he was like, dang, he's like, that kind of hit, like, because that's so true, right? And we talk about like, oh, like, what does loving like Christ look like? It's, we think it's like loving the poor amongst us. It's loving, you know, but we don't really talk about, it's also loving the person who betrayed us
wronged,
as well.
Or wronged other people. I mean,
yeah, absolutely.
That's a hard, in our world today, that's, and I'm so sure it was the same back in, you know, when Jesus was walking on the earth, right? Is there was so much corruption and evil. You think about even in Noah's day, there was so much evil that the Lord had to wipe it out, right? There was just so much evil. Yeah. And I think, unfortunately, we are so there. When he says the last days will be like the days of Noah, folks were there. If you don't look around you and see that, you know, I pray that you open your eyes and realize that that's what's happening. But it would be hard for me, like I struggle with pedophilia and... I mean, it's not a struggle. It's like a, like, Lord, help me. I don't know that I can say that I love someone who does that, because I, you know, that's strong, but I pray for them because that's just pure evil and that's difficult. I look again, we talked about this last week, and I still watch this, and I watching Erica Kirk get up 10, I think it was 10 days after her husband was assassinated.
Mm-hmm.
For the entire world to see, to stand up and say, I forgive that man, that young man. That is the love of Jesus.
Absolutely.
Right there. I mean, that is, wow. Like, I Lord, pray that I can have that kind of conviction and love. And I do love the Lord, but there are just certain people that I just like, Lord, you know what? I don't know that I can love that. You know, it's hard.
Yeah.
So it's a real struggle for me.
Yeah, and I think that's, especially right now, it's, yeah, it's a struggle.
Well, when you have kids of your own, people don't realize that, like, it, life changes. You know, when I was young and silly and, you know, stupid, doing stupid things as youth do, you didn't think about these things. But once you have children and now a grandchild, man, it puts things in a whole different perspective. You know, I mean, evil's evil no matter what, but it really puts it to a whole new level. And I watched on TV yesterday, maybe the day before, I don't know, it's all running together, but where the father of one of the gals, and I'm sorry that I can't remember her name, but the one who was murdered and raped and all these things from an illegal alien who was literally in prison like multiple times. I mean, so many times it's unbelievable. And to watch the pain and suffering of that man talking before Congress about what he is going through and how he's going to help. He couldn't save his own daughter. He's going to help save others' daughters because children, you know, because of the situation with children. But I mean, that just says we just need to love like Jesus and pray when we're having difficulty, he'll help us through it. I mean, without him, we can't.
Yeah, because I definitely don't. I could see it happening, you know, just having like a hardened, just cold, closed off heart because of what, just the evil that you see around you and the fact that people, they don't see it. Like, how can you not see this as evil? How can you look at like a child and then just like, oh, this isn't evil? Like, how, I don't understand it. I don't understand how people can be so tolerant of the mutilating children for transgender stuff. I don't see how people can be tolerant of just the murder and the hate and just everything that's going on in our country. And so like I'm taking to the Lord to like, please just don't let me be that person, become so cold and filled with hate that that will land me in hell too. Because I'm not forgiving.
Right.
So I don't want to. I'm taking that to the Lord every day because like I see the evilness and I'm like, please don't let that anger, please don't let that hate consume me. And I'm taking that to him every day.
Well, and I think for situations like that, and we have talked about this, and even though it's hard to do, social media is killing our country.
Mm-hmm.
It's eating people alive because there's the scroll. Yeah. And I'm guilty. I've been very guilty, especially with stuff going on in the government. You want to kind of know what's going on in your government for the Lord, you know, for God's sake. You really do. I mean, otherwise, you know, I don't want to be blinded, you know, and all of a sudden, you know, we've got martial law in our town and I didn't even know what was happening, right? So you've got to be smart about it, but you don't want to overconsume it.
Right.
I would rather overconsume the Word of God all day long, every day, and fill my heart and mind with that than the garbage that we see on, there she goes again, that we're seeing spewed all over not only social media, but even the news, and none of it can be trusted.
No, yeah, it's true.
So you have to ask the Lord for some discernment there.
Oh, yeah.
So kind of where I alluded to earlier is where are we on the timeline, right?
Oh, yeah.
So I've got this picture. Unfortunately, nobody can see it but me and Crystal. So I will try to describe it. And I don't know if I'm able to do it, but if I'm able to do it, it is a copyrighted thing. So I'm not sure that I can really share it. But it is on Google. So, I mean, anybody can see it. So, but it's called Biblical History and the Big Picture. And it kind of has a line, a timeline going across. And so we are in stage one, the birth pains. And these are the bullet points for that specific time frame.
Mm-hmm.
So false messiahs and false teaching. Now we see that everywhere.
Absolutely.
From cult leaders to TikTok prophets, right? We talked about it.
Yep.
Wars and rumors of wars. It's constant. We got the Russia-Ukraine going on, the Middle East unrest, Taiwan, plus the threat of global conflict.
Just even say our internal wars.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that goes without saying, like our own internal unrest here in the United States.
Yep.
We have seen famines, earthquakes, pestilence.
Yep.
We just lived through a pandemic and natural disasters are breaking records yearly. So that's, you know, going on.
Yep.
Persecution of the believers. Yep. Unfortunately, we just saw that happen in our very own country.
Yep.
Not but a couple weeks ago.
With the assassination of Charlie Kirk. We saw 2 days ago a church got rammed by a truck and then the guy
set on fire.
Mm-hmm. Set on fire, just opened fired.
Yep.
So even a few years
even a
back,
past, yeah, we've seen this. It happened.
The kid who shot up a all black church in I forgot what state it was. That was actually back further than I realized, but. Yeah, we're seeing it. Like places of worship, they're not safe.
It's just happening more frequent. I mean, just in the last few weeks, we have seen, I think, at least five.
Right.
In the last couple weeks. And that is...
Yeah. But that's here. That's not even
taking
account
right now,
worldwide where Christians have been persecuted for years.
Yeah. Well, right now in Syria. I just watched on the news last night. In Syria, Christians are being, again, martyred in Syria.
Yeah.
And our government's not even talking about it.
Yeah.
So I don't know why we're not protecting the Christians over there right now. So in the West, it looks more like a cultural hostility, but it is growing. We're watching it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then gospel preached worldwide. For the first time in history, we know that technology is making this possible, right? There are, I can't remember how many hundreds of Bible translations. We talked about this. There's live streams, podcasts, missionaries going into unreachable nations. Yeah. And I can't remember, John Bevere, I wish I would have wrote this down, but he talked about how many translations still yet need to happen to be able to say that all of the translations have been done for every language. However, it's interesting to find, which is true, the Holy Spirit can preach to those languages.
Oh,
so
yeah.
We cannot think, oh, well, because, you know, we're not in this time frame because the word's not in every, it's there because they have the Holy Spirit in them, right?
Ability.
I mean, the Lord is with everybody. So we are firmly in the birth pains season. There's no question about that.
Yeah. So let's discuss what hasn't happened yet. So the 7-year tribulation hasn't even started. There hasn't been a peace covenant signed with Israel. And that's mentioned in Daniel 9:27, which says, "And he will enter into a binding and irrevocable covenant with the many for 1 week or 7 years. But in the middle of the week, he will stop the sacrifice and grain offering. And on the wing of abominations will come one who makes desolate, even until the complete destruction, one that is decreed, is poured out on the one who causes horror.
So now it talks about where you said one, that's the 7-year tribulation, where it says that like on the third day, it's a 3.5, that's actually years, just so people understand. So in 3.5 years, that covenant's going to be broke.
Yep. And then the next one is, so the abomination of desolation hasn't occurred because there's no temple in Jerusalem right now to even desecrate.
Right. There's discussions to build it, but it's not been.
Yeah. And then the cosmic signs haven't shaken the heavens yet.
Yep.
And of course, the visible second coming hasn't even happened as well.
Okay, so what does that mean for us? We're living in the, what I would call the pregame, the warm-up, right? Contractions are happening. They're getting stronger. Jesus's warning is don't get lulled to sleep. Don't assume things will just keep going as normal forever, right?
Right.
So our role in this stage is to stay grounded in the truth. Do not be deceived, which again, we talked about at length, that it's going to be harder and harder to distinguish truth from deception because of AI alone, right? Stay faithful under pressure, so we don't want to fall away. So stay in the Word, stay grounded in the Word of God. Stay active in mission, so the gospel keeps going to all the nations.
Mm-hmm.
So make sure we're getting the word out there. Talk to everybody around us about the Lord and His, you know, return. And then stay ready, so when stage two begins, that we don't get caught off guard.
Right.
So let's talk about, first of all, let me kind of paint this picture here, Crystal, of this Bible, this timeline.
Mm-hmm.
So creation began, if we talk about creation, it began way back in Genesis 1 and 2, and then the fall of mankind, that's when Noah, God destroyed the earth in the flood, and that was in Genesis 3. Then in Genesis 12, 1 through 3, and then in Exodus 1 through 15, there's discussion about like Israel was formed. And that's, again, when Israel was formed. And then the law was given, you know, Moses is the law, where Moses gives, to Israel. We'll find that in Exodus 20 through 40, in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. And then in 2 Kings 17, 6, the fall of Israel. Then we go into the first coming of Christ, Jesus' birth, life, death, resurrection, and basically it's when the Gospels come in. Jesus ascends. That's talked about in Acts 1, 6 through 11, and then Pentecost. That's Acts 2, and that's where the Spirit is given. And then right now we're in what is called the Church Age, and you'll see that in Ephesians 3, 2 through 6. And then corruption is talked about during this church age also in 2 Peter 2, 1 through 3, and then 2 Peter 3, 3 through 7. And then Israel being reborn is discussed in Jeremiah 23, 7 through 8. So we're there. That's where we're at. We're at the end of the church age right now before the rapture of the church and the second coming of Christ. And the rapture of the church is talked about in 1 Thessalonians 4, 16 through 18. So now we're getting into Revelation next week. We're going to start that Bible study, and we'll get more into the rapture of the church, whether it's they talk about pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib, all these tribs. The bottom line is, and I don't care where anybody stands on this pre-trib, post-trib, and all those things, we should not find ourselves arguing over that point, because that is terrible to do that and to you know, get angry with people because they don't believe what you believe. The bottom line is the Lord's coming and you need to be ready, period, no matter when he comes. If you're ready whenever that is, if you're ready, then you have nothing to worry about. And then, you know, the second coming, of course, gets into the 7-year tribulation, goes into the millennial kingdom, which is a 1,000-year reign, and then Satan's last stand, that's talked about in Revelation. And then the great white throne of judgment, which we have talked about in previous podcast. Mm-hmm. And then heaven, Revelation 21 and 22, which is the end game where we spend eternity with the Lord. And that's, so this little biblical picture I have, I'll see if I can post this with our podcast. I don't know if I'll be able to, but I will try. Okay, so I want to get into some questions. So why do you think, Crystal, that Jesus begins his teaching, when we talk about this discord, with a warning about deception?
Jesus starts with deception because it's the biggest threat in the last days.
Mm-hmm.
If Satan can get us to believe a lie, then he doesn't need to fight us.
Right. It's true.
We'll walk into our own destruction, and deception won't always be obvious. It can come dressed as the truth, which we've talked about.
Which unfortunately it's happening right now.
Yep. Mm-hmm. It's wrapped in culture, politics, mm-hmm. religion.
Yep.
And that's why he said, watch out that no one deceives you.
It's true. And I think Jesus put deception first because it's so subtle.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Wars and disasters, you can see those things coming.
True.
But deception sneaks in quietly, which it's happening so quietly. I read so much on AI, I'm like, people don't even realize it's happening, like right before our very eyes. It doesn't feel like an attack. It feels like a comfort or a compromise, or we need it, right? It's going to help so many people. Yeah. And there is good, of course, but obviously we know no matter what good, AI will be good. And I think it will help cure cancers and help do all these wonderful things. But unfortunately, Satan will turn it and make it evil.
Yeah, he's going to make a counterfeit.
Yeah, he always does. He has nothing new. He can't create nothing. He's not the creator. The Lord is. And so he's got to, you know, twist things.
Yeah.
That's what makes it so dangerous.
Yep.
If the enemy can twist the lies to truth, make it look like truth, we're going to destroy ourselves with the lies. And we're literally destroying ourselves within our own country right now.
That's true.
Right?
Yep.
So, birth pains. Which birth pains do you see most clearly in the world today? So, we can see almost all of them, right?
So true, yeah.
So, we're seeing wars, rumors of wars.
Yes.
You know, check. You can check that off as being done. Natural disasters happening more frequently. Yep, check.
Yep.
Pestilence, like the pandemic we walked through, and the threat of... I just read something again about...
China's got another one.
Another pandemic. I'm like, seriously. But what hits the hardest is the lawlessness and love growing cold. People just don't value truth or life the way they used to.
Right.
And Jesus said these are just the beginning of birth pains, contractions before delivery, and they are definitely intensifying.
Yeah, and I've already talked about it. For me, it's definitely the love growing cold, because Jesus said the world will know us by our love.
Mm-hmm.
So when love grows cold, that's a flashing red sign that we're closer to his return than ever.
So we talked about some of these things already, but we'll go over the questions so people can maybe think about them again. The next question we have in our discussion would have been, how can believers prepare for increasing persecution and deception? We prepare by being rooted in the Word, so we know the Word,
mm-hmm.
rooted in the Spirit, so we stay sensitive to His leading, rooted in community, so we are not isolated when pressures come. And so basically we have to, like we talked about, like having someone else's light guide us when ours seems dimmed out, we need assistance and can't have their light or their lamp, right? But they can help guide. Stay rooted in prayer so that our faith doesn't collapse. And we can't wait until persecution hits to decide where we stand. We have to have this decision made, and we need to settle with it now and prepare for that.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it's not a matter of, right, he said it right, it's not a matter of if we'll be persecuted. We will be.
Right.
So we need to be prepared.
Yeah, exactly. So we need to settle it in our hearts today. If you wait until persecution arrives, fear might make that decision for you. But if you're already anchored in Scripture, already walking closely with the Lord, already connected to the body of Christ, then when trials come, you won't be shaken. You'll be steady.
That's true. That's true. It's good. And then which parable of readiness speaks most to your personal walk? And we definitely discussed this. You talked about it. We don't need to go back into this again, but we talked about faithful servant. You talked about the 10 virgins.
Yeah.
And then how can we balance watching the skies for Jesus' return, actively serving others today? So I would say it's like readiness means we live like he could come any second, because bottom line is he could, right?
Right.
But we work like he won't come for 100 years.
Absolutely.
So he basically has told us already, like, he doesn't want to come back finding us idle, just like doing nothing and do crazy stuff like people have done in the past. And even more recently, when somebody said, oh, the end of the world's coming, people started selling stuff and all. He doesn't want us doing that. He wants us to, watching isn't passive. It means keeping hope alive while keeping our hands busy in love and service, that's how we find balance.
Right. And it doesn't mean just keeping our head in the clouds.
No.
It means our hands in the harvest, but we keep our eyes on the sky. Yes, we stay active in loving people. We make disciples. We still feed the hungry. We still clothe the poor. We still serve faithfully. So we're watching and simultaneously we're working.
That's
so
right.
They both go hand in hand.
That's so true. So some life applications is stay grounded in truth. We know the word, so deception can't take root. Stay faithful in discipleship, endure in love, even as wickedness increases. And this one, to me, out of all of them, for me, is the hardest. So Lord, help me there, right?
Yeah.
Stay filled with the Spirit. Keep oil in your lamp through prayer and intimacy with God.
Yep.
And stay active. Serve. You know, readiness is revealed by how we are willing and how we love and serve others.
Yep.
You know, it's not self-centered. It's serving others, right?
Right.
And then, so closing, let's pull it all together. The timeline shows the sequence. So we talked about it. Birth pains, then tribulation, then the great tribulation, then cosmic signs, second coming, judgment, millennium, and then eternity. But the heart of Jesus' teaching is that be ready, stay faithful, keep oil in your lamp, serve others in love, and do not grow cold.
Yep. Being watchful isn't paranoia. It's faithfulness. It's living every day as though Jesus could come today, tomorrow, this very second.
That's right. So my prayer is, Lord, help us to live ready. Guard us from deception. Strengthen us to endure. Keep our lamps burning. And may we be found faithful when you return. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
As always, we are not Bible scholars by any means or theologians. We are women who love Jesus and love the Word of God. So please open your Bibles, read Matthew 24 through 25 yourself, and ask the Holy Spirit to guide you and what He wants to share with you. What we share here is our own personal study and conversation. It is definitely not a replacement for Scripture.
Absolutely.
So until then, stay grounded, stay hungry, and stay unfiltered in your walk with Jesus. This is Unfiltered Faith, Beyond the Church Walls. We love you, and we'll see you next Thursday. God bless.
Keep your lamps burning.
And keep your eyes on Jesus.